I'm going to talk on linking ecology and evolution, as well as economics, with a focus on the two first, because I'm a biologist. I'm a professor and chair of the Center for Ecological and Evolutionary Synthesis, the president of the Academy, the Norwegian Academy of Science and Letters, and also IUBS. I was asked to talk about the center I'm chairing. I'd rather like to talk about biology as such, because this century is the century of biology. And here are some of the main points during the development of this century of biology, starting with Darwin and genetics, which was rediscovered in 1900, thanks to people being able to see the nucleus, where they got the idea that maybe there is where heredity is. Then there came up tremendous technology development, the modern biology, technology-driven biology, which has made medicine, modern medicine, you know, revolutionized and in the process of revolutionizing it. But if you are to understand nature around us, we need to understand evolution. And if you are to understand evolution and natural selection, we have to understand population biology, population ecology, because it is the population ecology that drives selection, which again drives evolution. And that is also important to human being, to medicine, modern medicine. And if evolution occurs, then ecology change. So this is the view of biology, modern biology. And this is my short history of modern biology. But we have to remember that as evolution occurs, as I said, ecology is changing. And that is what the center I'm running is doing. That view can be used for studying human and human, the resources human are dependent on and the nature around us and our own evolutionary history. The nature around us of various species, various systems, various biological systems, be it mammals or bacteria. Biology. We were reminded in 1973 that nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution. Then Mike Biegun, our textbook writer, reminded us that very little in evolution makes sense except in the light of population ecology. Ecology is very often forgotten. It is important. Then recently, as a matter of fact, the day before yesterday, Urs Chatmarie reminded us that not much of molecular life science or genomics, which is dominating the field today, makes sense except in the light of evolution. The types of questions being asked in biology are the what questions. And here are the disciplines within biology that addresses the what questions and the how questions, it's the disciplines, and the why questions. That is evolution, how things come about to be what it is and how it is. And it is in that sense that not much in the modern molecular life science makes sense except in the light of evolution. Evolution makes sense. Makes sense in the light of molecular life science, such as the genome, genetic code, organelle genomes, but not much in molecular science makes sense except in the light of evolution. So this is the perspective I'm having. Darwin had ecology very clear in his mind. Darwin had population thinking in his mind when he published his theory in 1859. So I have to give you a short 1 minute course in what Darwin said in 1859. When he presented a theory of evolution through natural selection. Natural selection depends on organisms or entities that have the following characteristics. They are reproducing themselves. They are characterized by heredity. Our kids resemble us more than a random chosen person. And within a population, the population thinking here, there is variation in these heritable traits. So then in an environment, these entities will change in frequency depending on the environment. They will change, they will adapt to the environment. And if the environment changes, the population, the composition of the population will change, so as to be most adapted to the environment. That is what Darwin is all about. Population, around the turn of the previous century, population thinking faded out, or essentially disappeared, particularly after the rediscovery of Mendelian genetics at the turn of the century, previous century. But population thinking was brought back in the 1930s, thanks to giants like Fisher, Rothamsted. He did his work at Rothamsted. Haldane and others. Population biology and empirically based population biology was born with Charles Elton studying lemmings, favorite organisms of mine. The modern synthesis that Fisher and Haldane and others created in the 1930s, they highlight exactly what Darwin did, reproduction, heredity, and variation, and they highlighted population thinking. They combined Darwin with what later became the basis for heredity, the DNA molecule. The DNA molecule was discovered in 1953, which gave rise to a phenomenal development within biology. Extraordinary. But the population thinking faded away. So we started focusing only on the genetics and forgot Darwin, to some extent. What we need is a unified biology incorporating a broad spectrum of disciplines, life sciences. It's a unified field. Unfortunately, there is much fragmentation in sciences in general, and in biology, biology is no exception. The scientific fields tends to look like this, that we march along in our path, not even looking at our other colleagues, not even reading their papers, paying very little attention. We need to bridge the gap between ecology and evolution, including genetics and genomics. We need to bridge the gap between ecology and evolution, including this modern technology-driven biology. We need to join forces and come together and address the problems in interdisciplinary ways. We need to combine the classical Darwinian view with the modern biology. Currently, there is somewhat of an intellectual battle between molecular-focused life science and organismic-focused traditional biologists. We need to join forces. If this century is to be the century of biology, classical trained biologists must see the great opportunities that there are in the new technological developments. And the genomics people need to pay attention to ecology and evolution, just like what happened in the 1930s. Remember what I said before? This is a slide I've shown you before. We need this overall view being pictured here at this slide. And this is exactly what you asked me to talk about, the center. The Center for Ecological and Evolutionary Synthesis, which I'm the chair of in Oslo, is an international center with 150 people. Median age is 39 years old. I'm the president also of the Norwegian Academy of Science and Letters, where the median age is 71 years. It's fantastic to go between these two worlds, I tell you. It's an international center with more than 25 nationalities represented. We are taking advantage of the technology-driven biology, genomics. We are a national center with fantastic equipment, modern equipment, where we can ask all sorts of questions we can answer now, which we couldn't only a few years ago. The new development within biology is going to have a tremendous impact on our understanding of nature around us, our understanding of the resource dynamics and how to use that optimally. We are also, as part of this, and this is linking in very much with the center we are opening today, and marine center focusing on marine organisms, focusing on cod, is a Nordic virtual center. It's several young people working in that virtual center based at each of the nodes. We are organizing joint courses. Cod is one of the focal species, bringing people together. And the sequencing facilities is a key resource in addressing rather classical questions. This Nordic center is what we have come to call a EEEE center. This is a battle we had, intellectual game we had with our rector. We are, we say, an ecological center in ecological science, evolutionary science, economic science, and excellence in interdisciplinary science, bringing different disciplines together. And since we are a marine one, we make it a blue one. We are combining curiosity-driven science with problem-solving, challenge-driven science. The curiosity-driven science being carried out through the individual PhDs and postdocs, curiosity-driven part. And combining that with the problem-solving being carried out the way we have designed the various PhD and postdocs projects fitting together so as to produce potential solutions to how we are to manage our resources. Few words, a few more minutes, about our approach. We are asking nature to tell us what kind of models we should use. We are doing statistical modeling of long-term time series data. Then we are using the models coming out of that statistical analysis, putting it together in food webs, and simulating the dynamics under different scenarios. Statistical modeling, like Fisher, was starting out several years ago, after he unified biology in the 1930s. Statistics is very useful to help you organize your data. Very difficult to see any pattern here. But if we are separating them into two classes, for instance, we might see structures in the data. And that's the kind of thing we are doing. If you don't use statistics optimally, you won't see the pattern. And this is what we are doing on focusing on the cod, but one can focus on many other species and many other systems. And this is my biology part, but I also have in the title linking ecology, evolution, and economics. And the last minute I will use to reflect a little bit on that. I focus on the ecosystem part. I focus on the ecology part. I'm focusing on the resource part. But as you very well know, there are social systems, there are people, and there's interaction between people. And those studying the ecosystem and those studying the social system very seldom talk together. There are nice developments now, but unfortunately, that's the exceptions. And if you are to manage the resources, we need to bring this together, because the governance of these systems include many social sciences, including economics. And that is a perspective that we have in our center, particularly the Nordic Center focusing on marine resources. But exactly the same approach need to be taken if focusing on terrestrial resources or whatever you are to focus on of resources. We need to join forces between those studying ecology and those studying people and institutions linked to people. I'm so irritated when I see social scientists making theoretical developments with a very naive biology. And I'm wondering when I see ecologists reflecting on social sciences in very, very immature ways. We need to join forces. And we are doing that in the marine setting, using data from these various seas, focusing on the cod. But that approach can be used in much more general. Thank you very much for your attention.